thanks to the partnership between publisher HarperCollins and RNIB, available now at the same time as the print and commercial audio versions, is the talking book of Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman. It's read by Catherine McCarran.
When people ask me what I do, taxi drivers, dental hygienists, I tell them I work in an office. In almost 9 years, no one's ever asked what kind of office or what sort of job I do there. I can't decide whether that's because I fit perfectly with their idea of what an office worker looks like, or whether people hear the phrase work in an office and automatically fill in the blanks themselves. Lady doing photocopying, man tapping at a keyboard. I'm not complaining. I'm delighted that I don't have to get into the fascinating intricacies of accounts receivable with them.
Gail Honeyman joined me in the RNIB Connect radio studios and told me about the book.
The book is the story of Eleanor Oliphant. She's quite an unusual young woman. She's 30 years old. She lives and works in Glasgow. She leads a very regimented life. She leads a very solitary life. She's someone who's learned how to survive, but maybe not how to live, if that makes sense. She has a chance encounter in the street with an old man who has an accident. She happens to be with a colleague, again by chance. And this one incident sets off a whole series of revelations which helps Eleanor develop and come to terms with things that have happened in her life, and we as readers find out why she is the way she is.
Mr. Gibbons is calling an ambulance, I said. So don't worry, you won't be lying here in the middle of the street for long. There's no need to be anxious. Medical care is completely free of charge in this country, and the standard is generally considered to be among the best in the world. You're a fortunate man. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to fall and bump your head in, say, the new state of South Sudan, given its current political and economic situation. But here in Glasgow, well, you've struck it lucky, if you'll pardon the pun. Raymond hung up and scuttled over. How's he doing, Eleanor? He said. Has he come round yet? No, I said, but I've been talking to him like you asked. Raymond took the man's other hand. Good old soul, he said. I nodded.
It's a slow drip. You're fed information. I remember feeling frustrated at one point. I wanted to read the social worker's report. So was that a very deliberate thing?
I wanted to try and keep the readers engaged. So I know that myself. It's when I'm reading other people's work, it's great when you feel, oh, I just have to keep reading on because I'm intrigued. There's something here that I'm not being told and I want to find out what it is. So I was trying my best to create that sort of set of circumstances in my book. Yeah, I hope it worked.
So certainly the first half of the book, it's a book about loneliness.
Yeah, I had read a newspaper article about loneliness a few years back, and one of the people they interviewed was a young woman who was in her late 20s, and she'd said she had a flat and a professional job and so on, but she said if she didn't make a special effort after she left work on Friday night, she sometimes the whole weekend would go by and she wouldn't speak to another human being until Monday morning. And I was a bit taken aback by that, because usually when we hear about loneliness, when it's discussed in the media, it's often in the context of older people, which is a huge issue, obviously. But I was intrigued that you don't usually hear about it with younger people, people in their 20s, early 30s. So I started to think about how someone could find themselves in that set of circumstances. And actually, when I thought about it, it wasn't at all difficult to think how that could come about. And so I wanted to try and show, I hope I've shown in the book, as Eleanor opens herself up to new experiences and to meeting new people, she starts to make connections, and things change so much for her because of that.
Let's slightly dance around spoiler material without giving anything away. I'm very aware we don't want to give anything away, but let's talk about mental health and the matter-of-fact way she reports on things with a sort of lack of emotion. It reminds me of other books that have featured characters who are maybe autistic or have Asperger's. Is there anything like that involved with Eleanor?
Personally, I didn't write her as a character with either of those conditions. But she does. I can see that there are some traits that you might think she shares with those. But no, I think it's more she's a survivor of some very challenging things without wanting to give away too much in the plot. And I think those have shaped her as an adult. And it's difficult to say without giving away the end. I think there's always the possibility of change.
Would you like Eleanor if you met her?
Oh, that's a great question. Would I like her? I hope I would be kind to her. She's not an easy person to like, and I was conscious of that when I was writing it. I was quite influenced by some 19th century novels, particularly Jane Eyre, when I was writing this, and rereading Jane Eyre again. I've read it several times in preparation for writing this book. I was struck as an adult by how Jane isn't a particularly likeable child when she's very young, and that in no way justifies the fact that people are cruel to her. But when she meets her aunt for the first time, I could kind of understand more as an adult that she isn't an endearing child, and she's not a people pleaser, she doesn't go out of her way to ingratiate herself with anyone. And that's all fine, as I say, and in no way justifies her subsequent mistreatment, but I was interested in that, and it was actually really fun to write a character who isn't a people pleaser, who is very direct, who appears not really to care very much what other people think about her. So as a writer, I had great fun trying to put that across in Eleanor. I hope I would like her, but then I know her better than anyone.
Other than Raymond, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
What is it about Raymond that you think drew them together?
I think Raymond is a kind person, and I think small acts of kindness, everyday acts of kindness, I don't mean extravagant acts of kindness, just little things every day can actually be quite transformative in the right at the right time with the right person. And he meets Eleanor at the right time, and he's not a judgmental person as well, which I think really helps. He's happy to take her as he finds her. Yeah, he's quite easygoing, he's not easily offended. And these are all really helpful, I think, when you meet someone who can inadvertently cause offence, like Eleanor.
And perhaps he's maybe a wee bit socially awkward himself.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, actually. I think, he has his issues in his life, as we all do. I think he's generally quite a content person. It's a really good question, actually. I see him as being quite personable. He's very integrated in society, much more than Eleanor is or ever has been. He's been very blessed in that he's got a loving family. He had a very happy childhood. He's got some friends. He's socially integrated in a way that Eleanor hasn't, for reasons that become apparent in the book. So maybe it's to do with that.
Right, Ben, I'll see you on Monday, he said. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. He turned to leave. Raymond, wait, I said. He turned back towards me, smiling. What is it, Eleanor? The Guinness, Raymond. It was £3.50. He stared at me. It's okay, I said. There's no rush. You can give it to me on Monday if that's easier. He counted out £4 coins and put them on the table.
Keep the change, he said, and walked off. Extravagant.
I put the money in my purse and finished my Magnus. Emboldened by the apples, I decided to take a detour on the way home. Yes, why not? It was time for a spot of reconnaissance.
This is going to be a weird question, right? Trevor Horn, who was the sound of the 80s, was interviewed on radio about his single Video Killed the Radio Star. It wasn't released yet, but was asked by the presenter, how does it feel to have a big hit? Your book isn't released yet, but how does it feel to have a big hit?
What did Trevor Horn say?
He said, don't jinx it.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I don't know, all I can do is keep my fingers and toes crossed.
Tell us about that auction in 2015.
Well, it still doesn't actually, even when I'm saying it now, when you're saying that, it still doesn't feel quite real. I'm still pinching myself about it all. I think the whole way through, as a writer, you sort of managing your expectations because it's, you know, it's really hard to get a book deal. It's really hard to get an agent, it's really hard to get a publisher and so on. So I just wanted to write this book. And I thought, when I get to the end, I just want to prove to myself I can write a whole novel. I can manage 80 or 90,000 words, kind of grapple with that shape of a piece of work. And if I get to the end, even if I just put it in a drawer and I never look at it again, at least I'll know, you know, I wrote a novel. Mm. And then I entered the first three chapters, which was all I had written at that point, into a competition. It's called the Lucy Cavendish Award. It's for unpublished female writers over the age of 21. And you didn't have to have finished your book, which is why I was able to enter it, because I only had three chapters. And I was shortlisted for that competition. I didn't win, but I was shortlisted, which was a fantastic experience. And it turned out that one of the judges was a literary agent, and she approached me afterwards and said she'd really liked what she'd read, and could she represent me? I said, yes, please, that would be fantastic. So that was a real confidence boost to keep going with it, because, you know, your confidence does ebb and flow as you're slogging away, writing it all the way through. As I say, even though these great things had happened, I was still managing my expectations, because, like I say, the whole thing is really hard to get a book published. So when I finished it and my agent said she was going to submit it to publishers, even then I was thinking, well, we'll see, you know, because even then lots of books get submitted by agents and still lots of them don't get anywhere. So when it turned out that, you know, lots of them were interested and there was an auction.
What was it, eight publishers were trying to buy it.
And then the same thing happened in the States and then in other countries as well. So I think it's sold in 28 countries now, which is, again, that doesn't feel real when I tell you that.
And I've heard Reese Witherspoon's film company is looking into it as well.
That's right, yeah. She's acquired the, she's optioned the film rights. That just happened last week. So that's, again, a dream come true. So excited about that.
And for a debut novel as well.
I know. It's, it's all I can say. I'm just pinching myself. I never in my wildest dreams expected anything like this to happen with it.
Why is she called Eleanor Oliphant?
I like the resonance of it, that just, even if you knew nothing else about her apart from her name, it already starts, you can already kind of start to think about what kind of person she might be. I like the resonance of Eleanor all alone, Eleanor Rigby Oliphant. I think it's an old Scottish name. But it also sounds a little bit like elephant, so I don't know. I just like, there were all kinds of echoes and resonances in those two names together, which is why I chose it.
Now, in this edition of Read On, we're examining the titles, Chick Lit and Manlit. What's your thoughts on those labels?
I'm not sure those labels are terribly helpful. I don't think it's helpful to narrow the audience for books, because who knows who's going to enjoy what type of story. I think most people are incredibly open-minded and receptive to all kinds of stories, and it's not helpful if things are in silos or if some avenues appear to be already closed off. I'm not sure that they're particularly helpful. But it's hard. I think everybody's looking for a shorthand way of describing things, but I agree with you. Sometimes it's maybe not very helpful or it's counterproductive. I don't know.
Same with this book. People, we want to pigeonhole the books, but this could be a book about loneliness, about social awkwardness, could be a romance, could be... you know, it's all of these things.
Yeah, there's a kind of a mystery as well.
Now, in the interests of spoilers, I'm going to beep some words from this next question, but... hopefully someone who's got to the end of the book has the same question and will know what I mean. At the end, why didn't and end up?
I wanted to leave readers to draw their own conclusion as to what happened next. I think the happiest outcome that Eleanor could have had, given where she started from in chapter one and where she ends up at the end, is that she's in a place where she might be able to think about having a relationship with someone. So the person, it may or may not be him.
There you go. Hopefully that answers the question without spoiling the book.
Good morning, Mr. Gibbons. My name is Miss Oliphant and I am the finance clerk. My computer has stopped working and I would be most grateful if you could see your way to repairing it today.
Should you require any further details, you may reach me on extension 535. Thank you most kindly.
Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine is available in print, in audio commercially, and in audio from RNIB Talking Books. For more information on the Talking Book service, which you can receive via CD, via USB stick, or download directly to your smart device via RNIB Overdrive, head to rnib.org.uk/library.